Well, good morning, church. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Luke Corthus, and I serve here as the youth and young adult pastor at Salem Covenant Church, and I love my job. I think I've said this every single time I get in front of the mic, but it's true. I love the students that we get to work with on a weekly basis here at Salem and who are connected with Salem Covenant. You know, it's evident that God is doing amazing things here. You know, this past weekend, we were able to worship on our Christmas Eve services with about 900 people between all the services. And it's just such a blessing to be part of something big that God is doing here in this community. One thing I was reminded of this Christmas season was the idea of waiting. At the beginning of Advent, Pastor Jonna reminded us that this period of waiting is actually us practicing delayed gratification. As Americans, we're used to getting things right away. Many of you know that for almost a year, I have been on the hunt for a house. My dream is to be able to move into the community in which I serve and live close by so that I can just hop back and forth. And just last week, I was able to close on my first house. The coolest story, though, came from this waiting. Like, you know, all the other offers that I put in on houses, I would write a personal letter to the seller. My hope was to be able to pull at some heartstrings of the seller. I wrote the letter saying that my name was Luke, and I was a youth pastor at a local church, and I wanted to purchase this house to be able to live closer to church and to use it for ministry. I expected my realtor to respond for the 15th time saying that I didn't get the house. I was ready to continue waiting. Little did I know that there were three children handling their dad's estate. They wrote a letter back saying that their dad had been a pastor and that their dad's dad had been a pastor and that they wanted me to have this house, even though they probably could have gotten a higher offer from somebody else. The waiting was over. I had a house. And then I got in and started to do some work. And holy cow, that's way more work than I expected. There was work to be done. You know, in our own faith journey, the deeper that we grow, the more that we realize that there is work to be done in our own lives. Once we receive this gift that Jesus has given us, we reflect on the characteristics of Jesus and realize that we have work to do in our own lives. We don't work to gain our salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." But we continue to grow and to mature, becoming more like Christ and reflecting Him, and we realize that there is some work to be done. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." But we don't always get that right. And that is where we pick up our passage for today. But before we get started, a little context. I always like to know where we're coming from when we hear a passage of God's word. In AD 60 and 61, during his first imprisonment in Rome, Paul penned this letter to the Colossian church after he had received a report that they were struggling with a Christological heresy. The church at Colossae was under attack from false teachers who were belittling the deity of Jesus. They were saying that he was not actually the Son of God. Though Paul had never been to this church, he addressed the issues head on. Paul explains in the book of Colossians that believers have died with Christ. Therefore, we need to die to our sins. And that we have also been raised with Christ. Therefore, we must live well in Him and put on the qualities motivated by Christian love. And because He is Lord over all, and the life of a Christian It's a life of submission to Jesus. The theme of this book is that Christ is Lord over all creation, that he has redeemed his people, enabling them to participate in his death and his resurrection and his fullness. This makes sense as he writes to a group of people who are hearing all of these mixed messages. We can identify with the church in Colossae because we too get hit with many lies and mixed messages. The question that Paul asks throughout the book of Colossians is this: are you following after Jesus as you should? Our faith in Jesus should transform the relationships that we have in every area of our lives. Paul is saying that in your homes, you will have a changed relationship with your family, offering love and grace. Your work and school will have new meaning because you are working for God. Your friends and those closest to you will see the evidence of love and peace in your lives. And so this brings us to Colossians chapter 3, our reading for today. So if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to take them out and follow along with us in Colossians 3, 12 through 17. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to talk with one of us pastors, and we'll make sure that you go home with one today. Let's look to God's word together. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul uses illustrations in his writings often, and these analogies help us to make the connections between his teaching and our own lives. We mentioned that Paul's question throughout the book of Colossians is, are you following after Jesus as you should? And we see a potential answer to that question in this passage. You see, there are many things that Paul looks at in this passage, but today we're going to look at four specific garments, four pieces of clothes that Paul tells us to put on. I love that he uses this analogy of clothes. I am immediately brought back to my middle school days. Our Old Testament reading and New Testament reading both talked about teenagers. One was the boy Samuel, who continued to grow in stature and favor with the Lord and with people. Samuel was faithful to God in the midst of temptations. And the boy Jesus, faithful to God in learning and seeking and growing in his faith. So it only makes sense for us to take a little walk back in time. I want everybody to take a moment and think back to your own middle school days. You would have been 11 or 12 or 13 years old. As a youth pastor, I have the joy of reliving my middle school years often. And there are parts that I love, and there are parts that I try to suppress. So many changes, so many defining moments. One of those defining moments was when I was in seventh grade. I was tall and awkward as a 12-year-old. I remember I was walking the halls of Wilmer Junior High, and I had a major crush on this girl. I was 12, and I still had not yet discovered the scientifically proven facts of, showering regularly or deodorant, okay? I was in denial, and my mom had strongly encouraged me to put on deodorant or take a shower once in a while. I was defiant. anyways, it was a Tuesday, and I had gym class third period. I decided to work up the courage and go talk to this girl. So I hurried out of gym class, and I saw her down the hallway, the fluorescent lights glowing on her hair. And so I go up to her, and I was very smooth. I said, "Hi. My name's Luke." And we exchanged, you know, back and forth a little bit, and then she looked me in the eyes, and she kissed me. No, that's not what happened. She looked me in the eyes, and she said, "Luke, you stink." And she and she laughed and giggled and walked away with her friends, all laughing and giggling, and I remember I stood there, mortified. I was frozen. You know, not only was I rejected by my crush, but I was kicked while I was down. I hate to say it, but things, they just didn't end up working out between her and I. But I did learn a valuable lesson. I couldn't just cover up the smell. I had to clean up, put deodorant on, and put on new clothes. Paul is urging us to do the same thing in this passage. He is saying that because of Jesus, because of this baby boy that came into the world to save us, we have a new set of clothes to put on. We get rid of our old selves. We have a new identity to live into. So of these garments that Paul tells us to put on, what is the first? He says to put on the garment of love. Verse 14 says, "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Paul instructs us that we are to clothe ourselves in love, and that in doing this, we will be brought together in harmony and in unity. Doesn't unity sound pretty good right now? We can watch the news or read our Facebook feed and become just upset by all the egregious acts and things that people say to create division among each other. Paul is telling us here to put on love. What does that look like? I think we've been given a very good example of what love looks like through the person of Jesus. Love looks like meeting a Samaritan woman at the well and engaging with her. Love looks like inviting sinners and tax collectors in for a meal. Love is showing humility, caring for the sick, the marginalized, and the children. Love is interceding for others in prayer. We have been given this amazing picture of what it means to show love, and Paul is urging us to do something about it. One thing that I do to try to strive to put on this love is to make someone's day each day. I make it my goal to make somebody's day, and this may look like giving them a small gift, or maybe it's a service that I can do for them, or even just a simple smile. What will you do this week to put on the garment of love? The second garment that Paul instructs us to put on is to put on thanksgiving. Giving God thanks and praise is one thing that you can do that will set you apart from the rest of the world. Because the rest of the world is busy trying to be self-sufficient instead of being God-dependent. The rest of the world is busy paying attention to its physical desires instead of seeking the kingdom of God. The rest of the world is obsessed with hatred and fear, with anger and lies, instead of love, peace, and truth that only Christ can offer. Over this season of Advent, Pastor Mark has been helping us to be reminded of the life change that can come from a heart of thanksgiving. As we practice giving thanks more and more, we begin to see the many gifts that God has blessed us with. We begin to let that change our mindset, to change our view, and it is for the better. Three times in two verses, Paul reminds us to be thankful, to have gratitude in our hearts, to give thanks and praise to God. The word thanksgiving in Greek has a root word of Eucharist, a word that we closely associate with worship, specifically communion. We don't know if the early church was already using the word as we mean communion now, but it's helpful to remember that we call it Eucharist because that sacred sacrament always starts and ends with thanksgiving. So the first two garments that Paul instructs us to put on are more outwardly focused. We put on love, showing compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Then we put on thanksgiving, and this is our gratitude to God. The third and fourth garment that Paul says that we are to put on is more inwardly focused. These things happen in our own hearts and our own lives, and then the fruit flows out from them. The third garment that Paul instructs us to put on is to clothe ourselves in peace. Verse 15 says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body." The peace of Christ is something that we have been called in one body. We are now one family, one community, one body. To fight and quarrel among ourselves is counterproductive. As a body, it is bound to happen, but what Paul is saying here is that we are to seek common ground. Peace is something that Christians ought to be known for. Reflecting on this passage this week, I was often reminded how often I struggle with peace. All the things on the calendar, all the events to be at, all the things to get done. I find that I lack peace often. So this is a constant challenge for me. I'm an achiever and by nature, and because of that, I struggle with wanting things to work out well and make sense, and I love to succeed. When those things don't happen, I can struggle. But we read here in this passage that we are to let God's peace rule in our lives. I realize that I need more of God's peace ruling in my own life. I need to be able to identify those times in my life, like when I run a youth event that flops, and realize that I need Christ's peace ruling first and foremost in my life. Do you ever struggle with this? Jesus was a constant example of peace, especially in the midst of storms. And in the storms of your own life, Jesus is calling you to put on the peace that only he can give. What does having Christ's peace rule in your life look like? How does that play out? A practical thing that I have been doing to remind myself of having Christ's peace rule in my life is to take a moment to take a deep breath, to center myself, and remind myself of God's peace ruling in my life before I go into a situation. Maybe you can create a practice of yourself for yourself to remind yourself of Christ ruling. So now we've seen that Paul instructs us to put on love and to put on thankfulness and to put on peace. The final garment that Paul urges us to put on is another inward-focused garment. Paul says to put on the word of Christ. Verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God." Our final essential garment is the word of Christ, and this is the only time that this phrase occurs in the Bible. It also parallels, and this is important theologically, with Ephesians 5:18 and the command to be filled with the Spirit. In other words, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly is equivalent to being filled with the Spirit. The word dwell means to take up residence or to make oneself at home. The word of Christ is to be at home in you, abundantly and in all wisdom. So, friends, this means that we need to have God's word deep in our hearts. It can't just be an afterthought of things that we should do. It needs to be a regular practice in our lives. This means that we are to study God's word daily, to memorize scripture, to ask the hard questions that need to be asked, to meditate on God's word, not just open up to a random passage and hope for the best. When we have God's word as a foundation in our lives, Paul says that we will be able to encourage one another, to give thanks to God, and to use our gifts. It is important to remember that this is something that happens inside of us, not something that we boast about, saying that I am holier than thou. Those around you ought to see the fruit of Christ's word in your lives. That, my friends, is Christ's word dwelling in you. This is a calling set before us, church. Growing up, we memorized scripture all the time in Sunday school and in confirmation. This practice is often lost as an adult. Here at Salem Covenant Church, we strive to provide many opportunities to let Christ's word dwell in you. Whether it's through BSF or Bible studies, small group, adult Sunday school, or confirmation, I urge you to take advantage of one of these opportunities. Paul's instructions to put on these garments, it's not something that's easy. This is something that's going to continually take work, kind of like a house and its maintenance that I'm finding. But think of it this way. Because of Jesus, we can live lives transformed by love, by thanksgiving, by peace, and by the word of Christ. So where are you today, Salem Covenant Church? Have you put on the old clothes of your past? Have you bought into the lies of this world? The lies like you're not loved, that you won't find peace or happiness, that your situation can't or it won't get better, that you're not good enough, that there is no hope for this marriage or these bills or this diagnosis. Well, church, I'm here to remind you that Paul tells us that there is hope and peace and life. And that hope has a name and was given to us through the gift of a little baby boy, Jesus. Am I saying that he's going to answer all your prayers the way that you want them to be answered? No. But I am saying that he will walk with you through the challenges and joys of this life. This is the promise that we have been given in Colossians and throughout the New Testament. It's time to throw off our old clothes and put on this new identity that Christ has given us. I don't think that there's a better season that we could be talking about this. As we come from Christmas, we hold this joy, this excitement, this hope that has been given to us through the gift of God's Son. And as we look to the new year, we look forward with anticipation and hope, seeing all of the past mistakes and looking forward with anticipation. As we close this morning, my question to you is the same as Paul's throughout the book of Colossians. Are you following after Jesus as you should? Are you doing the work that needs to be done in your own heart? Are you putting on the clothes of Christ regularly, throwing off your old identity and living in to the new life in Christ? As we look to this new year, what are some of the changes that you need to make in your own life? What are some of the clothes that you need to cast off and be able to put on the truth of Christ? I challenge you to think about the garment of love that you can put on this week. Think about the garment of thanksgiving. Think about how you will let God's peace rule in your life. Think about how you will dwell on God's word and let God's word dwell in you. I guarantee you that'll be worth it. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the gift of your Son and the season of joy that we get to experience. Lord, help us to never forget the joy that is given to us through your Son. Help us, O Lord, to live lives worthy of the call that you have placed on our lives. Lord, at the end of our lives, may we approach your throne with you saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, we love you and desire to glorify you in all that we do. Amen.